So today, as we're in the fourth Tuesday of Lent, their gospel, we find ourselves in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, the first 16 verses, and we have this beautiful account of Jesus here at the poolside in Bethesda, and, you know, by the healing waters there in Bethesda, you've got flocks of ill people, crippled people, those that are lame, those that are blind. But who catches Jesus' eye is one man in particular, one who's been ill for 38 years. And Jesus sees him, and he asks him a question. Jesus asks him the question simply is this: do you want to be well? And the question we might have for that is, well, why does Jesus ask him if he wants to be well? Of course, he already knows that the guy's been ill and crippled for 38 years. Why would he ask him if he wants to be made well? Of course he wants to be made well. But might there be a chance that this man didn't want to be made well? All right, so imagine the scenario of this man for 38 years. He's grown used to his way of life. He's familiar with his environment there, and he's grown comfortable. Maybe even become a celebrity of a sort, where people have come there and they see, hey, look at that. There's the guy who's been ill for 38 years, maybe even receiving attention. Maybe that's aroused sympathy in many people. Maybe that's how he even made his living. And so he's grown comfortable in this. And so notice the man's response to Jesus' question, do you want to be made well? His response is, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me. So notice the guy didn't cry out to Jesus' question, yeah, I want to be healed. Yeah, I want to be made well. Heal me, Lord. No, rather his response is giving Jesus this hard luck story, right? And maybe even had this story prepared that he said over and over again to people, and he always just pulled it out, his hard luck story that he gives to Christ, that he gives to everybody. And so see, he very much, maybe even we could say he's playing the victim, or he bemoans in self-pity. And self-pity is always deadly, right? The sin of self-pity, there's a weight to it. It's crushing because it shuts one down. And so Jesus, of course, in his response of this hard luck story that this man gives him, his response to it, he doesn't play that game. He's got none of it. He gives this abrupt response. And imagine it's got to be shocking to the system of this man. He just says, Jesus to the man says, rise, take up your mat, and walk. And it's like, whoa, what? And so his abrupt response to this man, Jesus doesn't play that game that the man maybe wants to play. And so for us here, to notice that it's easy for us to develop and just maybe play the victim mentality is to bemoan and self-pity. It's a very natural tendency for us to have, and it's a quick move to have self-pity. But self-pity is a sinful response of something not going our way. And so it can be the littlest of things, even in relationships not going the way we want them to go. There be an argument. We can turn and bemoan in self-pity. And it can be a very quick move to leading us to isolation. It can be a very quick move to self-pity. Oftentimes leads to other bigger sins because we oftentimes want to cope with the self-pity, or self-pity allows us to rationalize towards other things. And so, again, there's a weight there. It's crushing. Even this time, so self-pity can be, I think of, you know, of course, on the physical, the front, we can self-pity of maybe we're not, the lack of abilities that we have towards other people, maybe even self-pity with regards to our spiritual life, people doing things to us when we're younger, maybe even like through a divorce or people who've said things to us. It can be, well, I use that as a crutch, as an opportunity to dictate how I act. And so the Lord wants to speak into that. He always wants to speak into that, and he wants us to denounce self-pity. We can even think of self-pity in terms of what's going on right now in the world with regards to the coronavirus and this lockdown that we're in. Do we have any movements towards self-pity in this? On the physical front, maybe sports, right? Being shut down, right? You know, I've been training for, you know, the end of the season, tournament this, tournament that. And now it's like, well, that got canceled. I'm going to throw in the towel. No, or can I use this rather than playing the self-pity game or playing the victim? Can I use this as an opportunity to maybe double down and work harder to come back better next season when things start back up or when the lockdown ends? The same thing with the spiritual life. We can use this lockdown and pandemic as self-pity in the spiritual life of saying that, man, because I'm separated, I can't come to church right now and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I can't receive the Eucharist. Woe is me. And because of that, now I slip into maybe like I'm distanced from God. I slip into other sins. No. Like, again, that's playing the victim card. That's bemoaning and self-pity. Whereas rather it's like, wait, no, how maybe like the Lord wants for me to capitalize this and not make a movement of self-pity, but to capitalize. And so three quick, movements or things to do, practical tips to alleviate ourselves from the weight or the disease of self-pity is, first, repent of self-pity. Just simply repent. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. And I repent of the self-pity. Secondly, ask God for help in doing that, because that can be really hard, especially if we, are more ingrained in the movement of self-pity, maybe years and decades, maybe most of our lives, again, because of the face of injustice that's been done to us. Ask God for help in being free from the movement and the sin of self-pity, to really experience authentic freedom there. And then thirdly, it's just maybe just like doing some self-talk with Jesus, some solid self-talk gospel truths. Like, I deserve what God has done for me. Well, none of us deserves his death on the cross for us, but like in the sense that I am a beloved son or daughter of God, and that I am far more powerful and I'm capable of far more greater things than I even think I am, because of God lives in me. His spirit lives in me. So following these steps and with the guidance of this gospel of John chapter 5, let them, being united to Christ with following these steps, let us free us from the weight and the crushing weight of self-pity.